Well, good morning. Greetings of love in the name of Jesus. It's good to be back home. It's good to be in our wonderful little church and see everybody that I know. So we much enjoyed our time in Ohio, but I'll tell you, it's disconcerting to look out across a crowd of 240 people and not know very many of them. So it is really good to be home. And I want to, thank you all for your love and your prayers and your support over the time we were gone. And we're thankful for the protecting hand of God as we traveled. Many people have shared what's on their hearts this morning. Many people have been processing life, processing things as they know it. There's sickness, there's loss, there's a lot of things that's on our minds and on our hearts this morning. And I would just like to encourage us as a church to continue to pray for those who were so tragically affected by the storm. And I guess something that came to me this morning as I was thinking about the loss that so many people are working through, and it was that thought again of, would I be happy with today what I thank God for yesterday? You know, we're pretty good at complaining. We're pretty good at talking about what we don't have. But what about what we do have? And one of the things that come to my mind this morning as I was thinking through this is the blessing of water. And it's off topic here, but it's just something that's on my mind. I went over to Vicks yesterday because they had no water. And there was an issue with a breaker. And so through Javon having a breaker, we put a new breaker in there, and that was not the problem. There was another short somewhere. But anyways, we got him water back. He had power, but no water. Judy didn't have any power. And by the way, Crystal, that's where the big jug is, because I had to carry water to her, the water jug for the out here. I'll try to get that back. But I had to carry water over there so she could flush the toilet. Do I think about water? Because in my house, we just fired the generator up and had water. 2,000 children under the age of 5 die every day because of water. A lack of water, a lack of good water, all the stomach-related issues and dehydration that comes along with grabbing water out of a mud puddle to take back to your family. 2,000 children a day, that's 90 school buses a day, crashing and not one survivor. Have you thanked God for water this morning? Or have you complained? On a local level here, a 2-year-old boy drowned in a pond behind his parents' house. A 60-year-old mother died of cancer. A 36-year-old father died of cancer. All this week in our little community here. Nothing to do with the storm. Hug your little ones a little closer this morning. Hug your wife a little closer. We're not promised tomorrow. Have you thanked God for what you do have? Matthew Gibson called me last night. He said, have your church pray for me. He said, Cam has called in search and rescue to Greenville, Tennessee. And that means that they're going house to house looking for bodies. Have you thanked God for what you have this morning? Or have you just complained? Turn with me. This is not our text, but I would like to go to Job. My mind just went there this morning earlier to the book of Job. And I would like for you to make this personal this morning in your heart and in your life and the way you're processing things. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. This morning, dear people, are you a group of people that are so founded and grounded in the Word of God and your relationship with Jesus Christ that you are perfect and upright and it don't matter what happens, you're not going to curse the name of God? Is that a testimony that you have this morning? Am I that man that is grounded and perfect and upright? Verse 8, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord in verse number 9 and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Do we fear God because of what we have? Because of what we are able to do? Because of our bank accounts? Because of our health? Or if God touches it? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Hast thou blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? Put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. If God would allow that storm to turn and come over Lake Butler, Union County, like it did over Steinhatchee, where would we be this morning? I don't know. But did God put a hedge around us and our little church family and community here? The Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. We know the story well. Job went from having everything, a beautiful family, a lot of money, anything money can buy, to absolutely nothing. He had his wife left, and she turned on him. Verse 20, Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, so Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. How would you have stood up under this? Was Job a special person? Was Job some untouchable Christian? I don't believe so. I believe he was just like you and I. So I titled the message this morning, Shelter from the Storm. And I don't know what storm you're facing this morning, or if you're facing a storm. But whether you had loss in the storm, or whether spiritually you're fighting a battle, or whether you're in a financial mess, wherever you're at this morning, we're going to look to the scriptures and see if we can find courage and strength and have the testimony that, Lord, whatever, it's yours. If you take it away from me, I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to charge you foolishly. I'm going to bless you. There are, from what I can find, 134 verses in the Bible with fear not in them. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. I believe this is the first one I found. Genesis 15. It'd be interesting to go before, behind, and look at all the context here, but let's just look at this verse. Genesis 15 and verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now, what do you think Abram processed as God told him this in a vision? Fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I find a lot of strength in that. It didn't mean that he wasn't going to face something. We know what happened after this. All right, let's go to Isaiah 41. We're going to look at a lot of scripture this morning. Isaiah 41. Verse number 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Wouldn't it be something to be able to stand up and preach amongst the destruction and devastation and loss of life and share these words with a group of people that's lost everything? Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It doesn't say that I will keep anything from happening to you. It says that I'm going to be with you with whatever does. 43, Isaiah 43 and verse 1. Isaiah 43 and verse 1 says this, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." You know, we heard yesterday of a Mennonite pastor and his wife that were swept downriver. And last I heard, the pastor has been found, but his wife has not. "Thou art mine. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." I don't understand why God would do that. I don't understand how the whole picture of God being glorified. "But I have called thee, thou art mine." So this morning, fear is real, life is real, and often we come to a place where we need help. I'd like to go to the book of Psalms. We're going to read in Psalms quite a bit this morning and maybe try to pull some thoughts. Psalm 91, a very familiar psalm, psalm we can rest in, like I said, no matter what you may be fighting or fearing this morning. Psalm 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with the feathers, with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall keep his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." So I don't know what went through your mind as you read down through those verses, but I don't see a lot of things happening to the Christian. It doesn't appear like we're going to have many things happen to us because God is going to take care of us. Everybody else is going to get destroyed, but the Christian is going to be, the angels are going to have charge over thee. They're going to keep us. Nothing's going to befall us. I can't explain all that exactly. But I think what it means is God is not going to allow anything to come upon us that will destroy us spiritually. I may be wrong, but I think that might be what it is. Some fear we have in Psalm 91 that we can maybe relate to, the snare of the fowler. The snare of the fowler here, and that is going to be in verse 3. "Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler," or from that trap that is concealed. Or that is, this is another definition for this, is a attractively baited trap. Or a decoy that we can fall into. And Satan is very, very clever when it comes to strategies to get you and I tempted to fall. Blindsided by a disaster, we can relate to that this morning. Or a sudden medical problem, or a financial reverse. Whatever it is, Satan can use this to be a snare. What does it mean by a plague that destroys at midday? This could be a sickness. You know, we talked about cancer this morning already, and a lot of you know what it's like to have a family member suffering from cancer. Fear of being sick, fear of dying from sickness is something we probably can all relate to, at least in part. Some of the disease out there strikes fear. A prognosis, a diagnosis strikes fear. A plague that destroys at midday. Fear the tempter. Says you will trample the great lion and the serpent. There's spiritual battles being fought for your soul this morning, church family. Let's be people that rest in the secret place of the Most High, no matter what happens to us. Let's go now to Psalm 17. Psalm 17 and verse 8. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in a secret place. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life. And whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasures, they are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babies. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake with thy likeness. Vivid descriptions of what you and I may face in life. But I would like to come back to this thought of who we are in battle with. Yes, temptations are real. Yes, health is real, or a lack of health is real. Under the shadow of the Almighty. Does that breathe life into you this morning? Psalm 57. The scripture can explain the sovereignty of God and the blessings of God so much better than man can. Verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let thy glory be above all the earth. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Where do we go in the storm? We go to our Lord God, do we not? Psalm 61. Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Notice the promises, the rich words of comfort and shelter, encouragement in the storm. A shelter for me when my heart is overwhelmed. The psalmist used these words that you and I can relate to this morning. When my heart is overwhelmed, it says, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. Lead me past the way I'm looking at it on a human level. Lead me up to where I can understand. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. There are many times in life we find ourselves crouched, huddled, relaxed, whatever, under the wings of God Almighty. But you know, I believe God has also given us a way that we can soar above the things in life that pull us down. Just as he hides us under the protection of his wings, he is more than willing to carry us on through life and into his service for him. I love the eagles, and many of you know more about them than I do, but the thought of how the eagles soar above the storm, such a tremendous thought to me, that when it gets too rough down here, we got to get above the storm. Think about that on a spiritual level. How about the thought of being carried? Exodus 19. There was many people in these last few days over the through the effects of this storm that were carried. Will continue to be carried. Are being carried this morning. Exodus 19 and verse 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Some people died. Some people were rescued. Some people are still waiting rescue. Where do you find yourself this morning as we sit here in good health, reaching out to God in praise? Deuteronomy 32. These word pictures and stories that we read are so encouraging to me as I think about life and how to process the things that we have went through. Deuteronomy 32, 10 and 12. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. And as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreading abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Is that a part of your experience today with whatever you're going through and whatever God has allowed to happen? Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. We'll start in verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know, we have all waited this week on something. There was patience that was tested on some level of another for probably everyone gathered here this morning. But are you waiting on God? Are you waiting on his plan for you? Are you waiting on how he's going to carry you so that you walk and don't faint? What is our part that we must do to experience this blessing, to experience this miracle of being carried on the wings of Jesus? Let's go back to the book of Psalms, Psalm 55. Psalm 55, we'll pick up here in verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there was many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, and even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Verse number 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And again, I want to reemphasize, where are you this morning in your convictions and what you're standing on and your belief in God Almighty? When trials come, when afflictions come, when trouble comes, when sickness comes, where are you? Personal cares, family cares, cares of the present, cares of the future, cares of yourself personally or for your family or for the church. Where are you this morning? The scripture says in 1 Peter 5, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We've got to turn it over to God. We've got to let it go and turn it over to God instead of try to work it out on our own strength. You know, we analyze situations. We process everything that's happening. We get ourselves up into a stew. And then we let it go to God. If only we could do that first. And just get out of that selfish mindset and start focusing all our energy on how can we help? What can we do? I have power. I've got a generator. I got water. Let's go help somebody. I think we would get out of that mindset of selfishness. There's a hymn that we sing, and the title of it is God Moves in Mysterious Ways. And we have sang that hymn as a church. We sing it kind of softly, and we listen to the words. The story behind it was in the 18th century, there was a man who was a Christian. His name was William Cowper, and it says that he had sunk into depression. He was depressed. It says the depths of despair, and he decided to end his life. It says he called a horse-drawn carriage. It was a foggy night, and he asked this driver to take him to the London Bridge on the Thames River, and he was going to jump off the bridge. 2 hours later, still driving around in a heavy fog, Cowper's coachman reluctantly confessed that he was lost. Disgusted by the delay, Cowper left the carriage and decided to find the London Bridge on foot. It says, after walking only a short distance, he discovered that he was at his own doorstep. The carriage had been going in circles. Immediately, he realized the hand of God in all of this. And convicted by the Spirit, he realized that his way out of trouble was to look to God and not to jump in the river. As he cast his burden on the Savior, his heart was comforted. And with gratitude, he sat down and penned these reassuring words. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. O fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. I was really encouraged by that story again this morning. If we can take what is so big and simply cast it on him. Luke chapter 12. Back to the thought of depression. You know, I think that's something that's going to be alive and well to many, many people, even in our state of Florida and all up through the Carolinas. As the things, the historical landmarks that's been there for a long time have been washed away. Ethan talked about the destruction at Horseshoe, and it's from St. Pete all the way to Mexico Beach. Just tremendous destruction. I believe depression, mental anxiety, a lot of stuff is going to be very, very real to many people. Can we be a church that can take God to them and help them cast their burden on him. Luke 12 and verse 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? I don't know what goes through your mind as you consider Jesus' words here, but I believe that there is everyone in this building this morning that has more than the clothes on your back and the food in your belly. Everyone here this morning has more than that. But I believe God would have us to really take a deep look at who we are and who He is. We are not self-sufficient, yet we are so minded to just figure it out on our own and take care of ourselves. Could it be that all of us here this morning fit in this five-word description of, O ye of little faith? Habakkuk 3. Habakkuk 3, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, and the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. Is that your testimony this morning? If everything you owned was taken away from you, the fig tree not blossoming, no fruit on the vines, everything you do for a job goes down river, no herd in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. I'm convicted with that scripture this morning as I think about how much stock I put in stuff and how much my attitude and mindset revolves around what is going good and what is not going good when it comes to my life, whether it's health, finances, business, whatever it is. Jeremiah 32, one more verse. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? May that be a message that flows out of our hearts and out of our lives and out of this church family as we go out and try to help wherever we are able to. And I don't know what all the opportunities are going to be. We haven't heard from Cam. I'm assuming there'll be a base set up as early as today. But what message is going to radiate out of our lives as we sit there and hold hands with those who've lost it all? Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I'm not saying that every place is going to be rebuilt. There's places that will never be rebuilt. But God is in the midst of this. His plan is to bring glory to Him. Are you and I going to help that plan unfold? Shall we stand together for prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for a beautiful morning. We thank you for life and health. We thank you for the natural privileges and opportunities that we have this morning, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat, the place we have to stay, the clothes we wear. Lord, we so often take for granted these blessings from you. Lord, this morning we bring this church family to you this morning. May you bless and keep each one in your care. Whatever storm they may be in, whether it's from the hurricane or whether it's from anything else in life, Lord, you know all about it. Lord, you have promised to be a shelter in the storm, and there's never a time where we can't come to you and find help and find your strength. Lord, this morning I'm going to bring our community to you, those who've lost loved ones this week. The sadness, the heartache, the things that are gone through little ones' minds as they process being without their father. The thing that's gone through parents' mind as they process being without their son. Lord, you know each heart and each life. Help us to be faithful in lifting these people to you, showing them the way of comfort, being the hands and feet that you would have us to be. Lord, help us to shift our focus off of what we don't have and on to what we can do and help with those who've lost so much. Lord, this morning we bring the Carolinas to you in Tennessee and Florida. The devastation, the loss of life, the loss of buildings, the loss of roadways, infrastructure, cell phones, all the things they're going through. Pray this morning for Matthew Gibson and the search and rescue team as they go in these houses that are flooded, not knowing what they're going to find. Pray, Lord, that lives would be saved. Pray for mental stability as they deal and work with the lives that were lost. Pray with the medical field, the rescue, all the personnel involved. May you bless this effort, Lord. We don't know all the answers, and we don't know what your will is in all of this, but we know that all things work together for good, and we trust you for that, Lord. Bless our congregation this morning. Bless and keep each one in your care. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.